He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father,
tried him, and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. Than my mind can conceive, he's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything,
that my soul longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed to think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me when I think of who he is and who I am. For he more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything.
Soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
He's everything.
He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised, and so much more.
More than amazing.
More than amazing.
More than marvelous.
More than marvelous.
More than miraculous could ever be.
He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
That's what Jesus is to me.
That'll put some fire in your soul right there, amen. I tell you right now, Jesus, we heard it last night, he's great, amen. He is just There's really not enough adjectives and adverbs to describe. Well, I think the Song of Solomon, he's just altogether lovely. Amen. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? I trust you know him in that way. I sincerely do. There's no way you can know him without feeling that way and even more about him. Amen. There's just no way. And I'm just so thankful that he's manifested himself to me. I am so humbled that God would manifest himself to me. I want to bless his holy name. He is worthy of all of our praise. We could never praise him enough, but I'm thankful that we're going to have that opportunity while the ages roll. Amen? Isn't God good? So good. And I'm thankful for his goodness. Thank you for that good song, and I appreciate that. One of my favorites, amen? One of my favorites, because it's how I feel about Jesus and so much more, and so much more. We're going to ask Brother Ouellette to come. I appreciate Brother Ouellette. Now, I followed his ministry from afar for several years, and I've just had this opportunity to meet him and spend a little time with him yesterday. I'm looking forward to spending the week with him. And I know this, just from what little I do know, I know he's my kind of guy. And I'll tell you how I know. I figured it out. We spent some time talking a little bit of church theology and church ministry. But when he scooped that little bite of sweet potato off of his shirt and went ahead and went to the mouth with it before wiping it off, I said, that's my kind of guy right there. He's our kind of man. Faithful to the ministry. Now, Dr. Ron Comfort stood in this pulpit less than 3 weeks ago and said the same thing that I see in this man. Faithfulness is where it's at, brethren. You can lay the long list of accolades out, but it's faithfulness. 44 years, pastor of First Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. Been faithful to the ministry, faithful to his family, faithful to his God. And I'm thankful that he's here to preach God's word to us. Brother, come. We appreciate you, Brother Ouellette.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you for letting me come. Do I need to turn this microphone on? I do. All right. Some of them are already on. Some are not. There we go. All right. Thanks for being in church. How many of you have never heard me preach before? Would you raise your hand? You've been lucky so far, but your streak is about to run out. It's about over. I'm glad to be here. I tell you, I like this church. I like your preacher. I like his heart. I like the family that I've gotten to meet. I like the members of the church. The Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. And I got to speak to your young people, and you got a good bunch of young people. And they listened well. They paid attention and had a good heart, good attitude. And I'm honored to be part of the Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, my motto as I get older is, if you can't be good, be short. So I don't think I'll be real long. I'm going to say what Henry VIII said to the third of his eight wives. I won't hold you long. But I got to tell you, the three biggest lies in the world are: the check is in the mail, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, and I'm a Baptist preacher and I'd like to say a few words. The preacher offered me to say something about the books on the table. A few of you have asked about them, but I asked if I could do it afterwards. If I cut anything short, I'd rather cut the advertisement short and not cut the preaching short. Open your Bibles, if you would, please. Anywhere, it's all good. If you want to be where I'm going to be, go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And if you don't, do you stand when you read the scripture here, preacher? No, I do whatever the preacher does. But stand with me, if you would, as we read from the Word of God. Did you know that God loves you? Amen. Did you know he loves you so much he wants to spend forever with you? Amen. Now think about that. We have grandchildren. They're going to be some of them at our house in just about 10 days or so, and they'll be there for better part of a week, and we'll love it. We'll enjoy it. We'll have a great time. I'm 67 years old, and I'll get down on the floor and wrestle with them. And we'll love every moment. We'll be sad when they leave, but when they walk out the door, my wife and I'll go, ah. But God wants you to be with him forever. Now, the truth is, none of us deserve that. All of us are sinners. The penalty for sin is death in hell. But God loved us, and he sent Jesus, all God, who became man in Bethlehem's manger, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life on this earth, and then to go to the cross and bleed and die to pay the penalty for our sin. The Bible says Christ died for us. It says Christ died for our sin. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know how you came into the room this morning, but you can walk out saved. You can walk out knowing that you have a home in heaven, that all the bad things you've ever done have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you know that, but if you don't, you know it before you leave. Matthew 2, verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Hey, that's interesting. You can't be born a king. The son of a king is not a king. The son of a king is a prince. Jesus is not the son of a king. He's the son of God. And he's born king of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they'd heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Lord, would you guide me by your Spirit and empower me to say that which would be the most help to the most of your people. As far as I know, I've come to the place in your word that you want me to be for this morning. I don't know the needs of the people. I've met them. I like them. They seem like they love you and they love each other and they have a heart for souls, and I appreciate everything I've seen so far, but I don't know their burdens. And if I did, I couldn't address them. Lord, you can. Would you please help me to say that which would please you? And bind the devil and his demons. You said they always come and try to snatch away the seed of your word. Keep them from that. And help us to determine to be good soil, open and willing to receive what you have for us. Bless the preaching. Bless the invitation. If there's anybody here that doesn't know they have a home in heaven, may this be the day they trust Jesus and accept the gift of eternal life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us who know you and are your children to be drawn to yourself. We promise to thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe seated, we're going to start with a quiz this morning. Now, I know that I didn't tell you ahead of time there'd be a quiz, but you're a smart bunch. You'll be all right. I'm from South Carolina. I was born in Greenville, South Carolina. As a young man, I was sentenced to Michigan. And I get occasional work release. I got no parole or probation yet. But Southern folks are smart. Virginia people are real smart. So three questions. You have to answer every question. You can answer true or false or Everybody's got to participate, all right? Question number one, true or false, three wise men came to visit the Lord Jesus. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say raise your hand. Question number two, the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus in the manger. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say, I would rather not raise my hand, raise your hand. Question number three, the wise men were guided by a star from their home to the place where Jesus was. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say, I'm starting to get nervous, raise your hand. Question number one, The answer is, Bible doesn't say. It just says there came wise men from the east. Now, the likelihood is there's quite an entourage. You wouldn't travel a long journey like that through dangerous, robber-infested roads without a group of people, some of whom were armed and could defend you. And we've assumed there were three because they gave three kinds of gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the answer is, Question number two, the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus in the manger. The answer is false. We read the verse. It said they came to the house where the young child was. Oh, no, you say, Brother Willette, I have a nativity set. I bought it at Walmart. It was made in China. And it has the wise men and the shepherds and the camels and the sheep and everything all together. I know, but it says they came to the house where the young child was. Question number three, the wise men were guided by a star from their home to the place where the Lord Jesus was. Oh, I know the answer to that one. It's in our hymn book. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar following yonder star. Little thought. It is nice. Yeah, you can finish it. That's all right. It is nice if our songs are theologically correct. But we don't get our theology from songs. We sing a lot of songs that aren't correct, and they're good songs. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When does the trumpet of the Lord sound? Sounds of the rapture. When will time be no more? At the end of the millennium, at least 1,007 years later, and the songwriter just stuck them together. So let's look at the Bible here. Is it all right if we let the Bible answer our questions? Amen. Pretty good idea. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. What are the next three words there in verse 1? From the east. There came wise men, what? From the east. Where were the wise men from? The east. I just preached in Wyoming. I'm going next week, God willing, to Montana. But I'm sorry, Jesus didn't come from the west. The wise men didn't come from the west. They came from the east. So the wise men were from where? The east. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we, what are the next two words in verse 2? For we what? Have seen. We what? Is that present tense? What is that? Past tense. We have seen his star. What are the next three words? In the east. Where were the wise men from? Where does it say they saw the star? In the east. Am I making that up or is that in the Bible? So the wise men are from the east. Says we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Look at verse 9. When they'd heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they, what's the next word? Saw. Is that present tense? What tense is that? Past tense. The star which they saw where? In the east. Where were they from? Where does it say they saw the star? In the east. The star which they saw in the east. Well, now watch this. Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they said, there it is. We've been following it every day. Right? When they saw the star, they what? What's it say? Rejoiced. Like it was kind of a big deal. So if I'm reading the Bible right, at the beginning of their journey, they saw the star. But somewhere early in the journey, early enough that they would still have been said to be in the east, the star stopped shining. And then at the very end, after they had been told to go to Bethlehem, they started on their way to Bethlehem. And the star which they had seen back in the east came again and appeared to them and took them right to the place where Jesus was. If I have not convinced you yet, let me give you one more proof. Where was the Lord Jesus born? Bethlehem. Where did the wise men go? It says there came wise men from the east to where? Jerusalem. Look at verse 1. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The wise men went to Jerusalem. It's at least 8 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. If the star guided them to Jerusalem, it did a lousy job. Do you pay an extra $1,000 when you buy a car to get a fancy navigational system guaranteed to take you to within 8 miles of your desired destination? Not much help. So here's the deal. The wise men were the magi. They were the Medes of the Medo-Persian Empire. They weren't kings. We sing, we three kings of Orient are. They were kingmakers. They were the powers behind the throne. And there was a widespread belief that a great birth was to occur in the land of Israel. I could read you historical evidence of that. I can't prove what I'm about to suggest, but I like to think that the reason these wise men knew about this birth that was to come is because there was another wise man a long time ago in the Medo-Persian Empire named Daniel, and Daniel was told all about the stone that was cut out without hands, the Messiah that should come, the prince that should come, and I think Daniel said, hey guys, this is going to be the biggest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world, and when you see this, drop everything you're doing and go see it. I can't prove that to you, but I like to think that. But they saw the star and they said, that's it. And they did drop what they were doing, and they made a long and difficult journey, and they lost the star pretty early. Early enough that they'd still be considered to be in the east. Hey, what you do when the star stops shining is really important. They could have turned around and gone back home. They could have said, we're parking right here until the star comes back. We've made every step of this journey with that star. We'll not make another step without it. You know what they did? They did the best they knew. If I said, go find President Trump, your first place to look would be 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He might not be there. He might be in Mar-a-Lago. He might be on a trip overseas. He might be at Camp David. But the likeliest place to find the President of the United States is in the White House. And the likeliest place to find the King of the Jews is in Jerusalem. That's the capital of Israel. So they did the best they knew. Did you know there's a whole lot of times if you'd say to your preacher, what are we going to do about that? If he told you exactly what he's thinking, you'd say, all of our preachers have a hotline to heaven. We do, but it's the same one you have. Now, that's not only how God dealt with the wise men, that's how he has dealt with his children all through time. Clear instructions, star stops shining. Do the best you can. The best you know. And at the end, the star shines again. Abraham, go to a land that I'll show you, and I'll make of you a great nation and make your name great. Abraham packed up and took his wife and family and went around the Fertile Crescent, wife and belongings, had no children. And he got to the promised land. He had a problem. He had no son. Did you know it's hard to become the father of a great nation if you don't have any children? See, infertility is hereditary. If your parents didn't have any children, you probably won't either. And Sarah said, you can take my handmaid and have a son by her. That's what they do around her. And so there comes Ishmael and all the troubles with the Arabs races. And Abraham thought, maybe Eliezer can be my son. And God said, no, it'll be your son. Now, the last time that the Lord came and reminded Abraham and Sarah of his promise, Sarah laughed. Don't be too hard on her. She's 90 years old. I don't know that anybody here is 90 years old, but I guarantee nobody's 90 years old and expecting. And nobody's 90 years old and wanting to be expecting. I'm just saying. There's a long time in the life of Abraham the star didn't shine. David, daddy wants to see you. He does? Yeah. Wow, what's up? Well, Samuel's here? David can't be more than 15. You can figure that by the fact that his three oldest brothers went to war, and you went to war when you're 20. And David is the youngest of eight. And so if you got the three out there, and if number four is 19 and 18 and 17 and 16, David can't be more than 15. And he walks into the room, and Samuel says, you're the one. He takes some oil and pours it on his head. And he says, you're going to be the next king of the nation of Israel. What do you do if you're 15 years old and crowned or anointed to be king? Yo, dude. Cool. Hey, be good to me, bro. When do I get the crown? David killed Goliath after that, and Saul used him in his court, and then Saul got jealous of him. And David got to the point he had to run away from Saul. The Bible says that David had a group of men with him that were in debt and distress and discontented. Preacher, people argue when the church began. They begin at Pentecost, to begin with John the Baptist, to begin the ministry of Christ. No, it began in the Old Testament. Everybody in debt and distressed and discontented followed David. If that's not an independent fundamental Baptist church, then you tell me what is it? And David got so discouraged in 1 Samuel 27, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me but that I should speedily escape in the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. Long time in the life of David, the star wasn't shining. Hey guys, I had the coolest dream. Yeah, right. Well, no, it's really cool. There's these sheaves in the field, like one for each of us 12 guys, and your sheaves all bow down to my sheaf. Isn't that a cool dream? Joseph made a fatal mistake a lot of young Baptist preachers make. He told his brothers his dreams. They decided to get rid of him. Wound up selling him to be a slave. He ends up in the land of Egypt. He serves in the house of a man named Potiphar, and he does such a good job. Potiphar entrusts everything to his care. Potiphar knew not what he had in the house, save the bread that he did eat. But somebody else noticed Joseph, and that was Potiphar's wife. The Bible says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. That's not two ways of saying the same thing. Goodly means he had a handsome countenance, and well-favored means he had a good physique. So he would have been a lot like he'd have been a lot like the preacher and I think we used to be. She said, hey, big boy, we ought to get together. He said, no, ma'am. And he kept resisting her advances. And finally, she grabbed at him one day, ran away, left the coat in her hand. She turned the tables and said that he had been trying to put the moves on her. And he winds up in jail. He's in jail for a long time. Maybe 13 years, some people think. Long time. The only time Joseph asks for help for himself, he rises to the top in the jail, and he becomes, whatever's done in the prison, Joseph was the doer of it, but he's still the prisoner, and he helps a couple of fellows know what their dreams mean, and he says to the one, you're going to be back in Pharaoh's presence in 3 days. Think on me, remember me when it should be well with thee. And the Bible says, but the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Long time in the life of Joseph that the star was not shining. By the way, that's not how it all, only how it was with Bible characters. That's how it is with us. Young man comes through here and he says, God has called me to be a missionary to the land of Spain. Nobody ever comes in and says, well, I wasn't sure what to do and I like to travel, so I thought if I was a missionary, y'all would pay for me to travel, and I like Spanish food, so if you'd send me to Spain, we'll go and see what happens. They never say that. God has called us to the land of Spain. And they get there. And in spite of the fact they've made a survey trip and they think they're prepared, everything's strange. The language is different, and the smells are different, and the food is different, and the architecture is different, and the clothing is different, and the mores and folkways of the society are different. And they go through a thing called culture shock, and they do their very best, and nothing happens. And pretty early in the journey, they say, I don't think this is going to work. Happens to us. You hear the preacher preach on tithing. The tithe is the Lord's. We pay our tithes and we give an offering. And you get convicted, I'm going to start tithing. You hear that God will bless you. And you, with trembling hands and a perspiration-drenched brow, you drop the offering envelope in the plate the first time you pay your tithe, and you run home to open the mailbox and find out that you've won the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. Just filled with bills. Weeks go by and your bank balance goes down and no extra money comes in and the stars stop shining. You say, I don't think this is going to work. You take a Sunday school class and, oh, you're excited. You're going to influence young lives and you're going to give people the Word of God. And after about 3 weeks, you say, I'm falling asleep when I teach the lesson. I can't help these kids. Every area of life. It's common. A lot of times the star's real clear at the beginning, and then it gets mighty cloudy after a little bit. Hey, what you do when the star stops shining is really important. The wise men kept on in their journey. They did the very best they knew. I heard about a man was sitting by the side of a road, and a traveler came by, and he said, "Is this the way to such and such a town?" And the man answered him strangely. He said, "Where are you from?" He told him, he said, "Well, you've come too far to go back. The side road is worse. This is no place to spend the night. Looks to me like you might as well just go on. Hey, I don't know about you, but I've come too far to go back. I've seen what happens to people who get off on detours. The side road is worse. This is no place to spend the night. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I don't feel much at home in this world anymore. It seems to me like we might as well just go on." Three thoughts and I'm through. Number one, the star does not always shine. That's normal. God does that on purpose. You know why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? And God deliberately puts us in places where we just have to trust him. The star doesn't always shine. Number two, God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Brother Comfort said, I love around Comfort, faithfulness is where it's at. I stayed at the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport by the grace and kindness of God and the mercy of my members for 44 years in one day. People said, Brother Willette, how'd you stay so long? I'm going to tell you how I stayed so long. Never left. Hey, you know what I figured out? And really, I'd studied it a little bit before I became a pastor, and I'd seen the people that God had used, and it seemed like almost everybody God used had stayed someplace a long time. And I asked God to let me go to a place I could stay for a lifetime. And there were preachers in our town better looking than me, and preachers in our town more eloquent than me, and preachers in our town more educated than me, and preachers in our town more sophisticated than me. But I found out I could do something better than any of the rest of them. I could stay longer. Hey, you can be faithful. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. Dark and dreary and discouraging days, and God wants us to keep on plowing forward, going toward Jerusalem. Third thought is this: star doesn't always shine. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. Do you know how they wound up heading to Bethlehem? Herod privately called the wise men, verse 7, and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He gathered, verse 4, all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, watch this, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now, once they started toward Bethlehem, the star came and took them right to the house where the Lord Jesus was. We're going to sing when we get to the other side. Jesus led me all the way, step by step, through faith each day. I'll tell the saints and angels when I recross the swelling tide. Jesus led me all the way. But they started out toward Bethlehem, not because of a star, but because of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss everything else, don't miss this. You may not always have a star, but you've always got a book. Hey, I know that I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus because the Bible tells me so. I know there's one way to heaven by believing in Jesus Christ because I find it in the Word of God. I know I'm supposed to be in church faithfully and regularly because the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I know that the tithe is the Lord's because the Bible tells me that. I know that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church and as they love their own bodies, and wives should submit to their husbands, and children should obey their parents and honor them, and parents should raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because I find it in the Word of God. I know I should live separate from the world because the Bible tells me that. I know I should love my enemies because I find it in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I may not always have a star, but praise God, I've always got a book. Amen. Danny Waiello was 11 when the automobile accident that cost him his left arm occurred. Took him a long while to heal, and even after he had healed, physically and healed emotionally. His parents, for some reason, came up with the idea of enrolling him in judo classes to bring him out of his depression. And then he liked it. He liked putting the gi on and being out with the guys. Now, normally when you take judo, they have some basic, simple throws they teach you. They teach you the ogoshi, the okigoshi, and the osotogari. If you do well on those, they'll let you learn the Kawasaki, the Suzuki, and the Yamaha. But the sensei, the teacher, didn't do that with Danny. He had him work on one throw over and over and over again. None of the other kids worked on that throw. Danny didn't work on any of the throws they worked on. They didn't work on his throw. But he liked it. And one day the teacher said, "Danny, you're ready to enter a tournament." Wow. Got the parents' permission, picked him up on a Saturday. They got to the tournament. Danny did well. The first round he won easily. Second round was tougher, but he won that. Third round was really hard, and he won that. And now he finds himself in the finals. His opponent is older, larger, more experienced, stronger. And Danny's having a rough time. He's being thrown all over the place. The referees went to the sensei. "Would you like us," they asked, "to call the match?" And the sensei, the teacher, said, "No, Danny, be fine." Danny was game. Every time he got thrown, he got back up. And he finally saw his opening. He reached in and he executed the only throw that he knew. And not only flipped his opponent, but he pinned him to the mat and won the match. Crowd goes wild. One-armed kid winning the judo match. He gets his trophy. On the way home, it's real quiet in the car. And finally, Danny says, "Sensei, why did I win? I only have one arm and I only know one throw." And the teacher said, "Danny, there are two reasons you won. The first reason was because you've mastered or nearly mastered one of the most difficult throws in judo." He said, "The second reason is that the only known defense against it is to grab your opponent by his left arm." Danny didn't know that. He just knew the teacher said, "Learn that throw, learn that throw, learn that throw, learn that throw. We're going to get to heaven if we're faithful." And we say, "Oh, I didn't know that." But God knows. The star doesn't always shine. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. We don't always have a star. We always have a book. Father, would you help us? Guide me as I extend the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. I wonder if you're here this morning, you say, "Brother, well, that I'm God's child, heaven is my home. And I need to apply what I heard from his word today. I need to understand that it's normal. There are times of uncertainty and times of darkness. And times where my way is unclear. And that in those times, God wants me to be faithful. And that though I may not be guided by a star, I can be guided by his word. I'm God's child. I needed the message. I need to apply it in my life. You pray with me about that. If you say that, hold your hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for that good response. Now, I wonder if you're here this morning, you say, "I don't know I'd go to heaven if I died right now. I'd like to know that for sure, but I don't." And I wish you'd pray for me when you pray for the other folks. Now, wait a minute. A good number of people raised their hands a moment ago, and I didn't call any attention to any of them. I will not now call any more attention to you than I did to them then. But I'd like to include you in the prayer. I wonder who would say, "I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Well, I'd like to know that all my sins were wiped away, that I'd never have to answer for any of the bad things that I ever did. I'd like to know that whenever my life on earth was done, I'd have eternal life in heaven. I don't know that for sure, but I wish I did." If you say that, would you slip your hand up high? I'd like to include you in the prayer. "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'd like to be sure. Pray for me." Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, young friends. Thank you. I see those hands. That's wonderful. They asked the question a different way. I wonder who'd say, Brother Willette, I am sure I'm going to heaven. I do know that heaven is my home. My sins are forgiven. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't have room to improve. But I know I'm God's child and heaven's my home. As a testimony to that fact, would you hold your hand up high right where you sit? God bless you. Thank you for that. Now, some of us couldn't raise our hand. There are things. And I believe there are some who couldn't raise their hand just then and did not raise it earlier and say, pray for me. I'd like to be sure of heaven, but I don't know that I am. You are honest enough to not raise your hand and say something's true when it isn't. Would you please be honest one more time? Just like it wouldn't be honest to raise your hand and say something's true when it's not true. It wouldn't be honest to not raise your hand and admit something to be true that is true. And I wonder who would say, I couldn't raise the hand and say, I am sure I'm going to heaven. I did not raise it earlier and ask you to pray for me, but I'll raise it now and say, pray for me. I'm not sure of heaven. I wish I was. When you pray for the others, pray for me as well. I'll be honest about it. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I do want to know that. If you say that, slip your hand up high, would you? Right now where you sit. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for these children who have raised their hand. I don't know their situation, but if they're unsure of eternal life, I pray they'd make sure today. I pray for all of your children who raised their hands that said they need to apply the truth of your word that you brought to our attention today. And I pray that they'd all act in obedience. If there are those that ought to obey you in baptism or ought to unite with this church family or ought to make a public profession of their faith in Christ, I pray they would do that today. And we'll sure praise you in Jesus' name. For all that is done, amen. Would you